From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Well, a belated Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's okay. We can celebrate past the 25th of December. As a matter of fact, we can do it 365 days out of the year. We hope you'll do that with us throughout 2023. And as we head towards 2023, this Sunday, finances is something that each of us will have to deal with as we have in, well, every year preceding it. And to help us walk through some of the thoughts as we head into a new year, Brian Cochran in studio with us. From John Moore Associates. Merry Christmas, Brian.
Merry Christmas to you, sir, and a happy new year around the corner.
That's right. Looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to this hour. And just to kind of tease, what's coming up, we'll talk about the future. We'll talk about living within our means and speculation and generosity. Some of the topics that'll be covered during today's broadcast. Brian, I trust you and your family did have a great celebration.
We did, and thankfully we weren't trying to fly anywhere the last week or two.
Oh, so my goodness.
We stayed home and kept it quiet.
Yeah, I've actually read a little bit about what most of us are aware of what you're talking about. It'd be interesting to see what happens with the travel in the with airplanes anyway in the coming months. And actually not in. You know, I would say this, be slow to start picking up rocks and throwing stones, because a lot of what happened over the last week, unless you're actually part of it, you may not have a real clear picture.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't in the airline's best interest to create all that disruption and turmoil for families. So
yeah.
Certainly they're going to try to figure out what happened and put the pieces back together.
And you know, I would say this as well, Christian, pray for the people in that industry, because there's a lot of people that are in the body of Christ that work in that industry, as they do in any industry in America, you know, it's real it's real easy to oh, you work for so and so, well, we'll pray for God's will in that and that the best would happen. Now, Brian, let's jump right into you. As always, I want to thank you for coming in and taking the time. I wish the listeners could see what I'm seeing. The time you take each week, whether it's the 15-minute update we do typically on a Friday or once a month where we spend a full hour, you really take some time to prepare content for our listeners, and what a benefit it is to them. So on their behalf and on mine, I want to thank you for doing that and for your support of Christian Radio in New Mexico. Let's go right into our first topic, talking about the future.
Yeah, and what I really wanted to do today is sort of reflect on 2022, which has been such a year of change when it comes to everything finance and economics. But the beauty of, you know, being a follower of Christ, having the wisdom of God's word, is we can always tie these seemingly random and uncertain times to good principles and try to learn lessons from recent experiences that we can tie to those principles. So I think that's what we'll do today. And the first principle that I think is maybe sort of the overriding principle that represents 2022 is that the future is always uncertain. And we have such limited control of the world around us. And that's true of our health. That's true of economics. That's true of relationships at times, that we try to control things and we try to think that we're in control of our own destiny 100%. That's just a very natural human thought process. But we're reminded in a year like this, in terms of economics in particular, that that's not true. And the verse that came to mind to me, especially on the finance side, is from James chapter 4. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. So we often go into a new year, a new quarter, a new week in our business and in our lives, thinking that we know what's going to happen and we're going to go, you know, grab the bull by the horns and go make some money. We're going to make some profit. We're going to have economic prosperity. But there's so many things at play in the world that are outside our control that that's not a given.
You know, Brian, before we press on, may I read the following verse?
Yes, go ahead.
I think it's really important. And as you said, you read, you know, today or tomorrow we will go into such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. And it says in verse 15, instead, right? You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So, not only to not say, well, here's the plan.
Yep.
But to, have our hearts and minds open, to what His will is for the future.
And I think that's the tension we sometimes feel as believers when it comes to our plans, again, whether it's economic or other, is we are meant to be a planning people. We're supposed to live intentionally and look to the future and be good stewards and do the best we can. But I think what this verse acknowledges is that we do that with the understanding that the outcomes we expect may not be what happens. And in the end, we should ask for God's will and not our own, because His will is sovereign and ours is not. So I think that's really important. And you look at the expectations people had a year ago as we wrapped up 2021, very few of those expectations were likely met this year. It's just been such a year of twists and turns with finance. And so the lesson here, I'd say the actions that the average American, the average listener today should take is to acknowledge that the future is uncertain. And one way we do that in investing is we diversify. Rather than saying, I'm pretty sure what's going to happen, so I'm going to put all my money here and sort of place a bet, if you will.
And that's funny, because as you said that, I was thinking, I don't know if I want to say this. It's kind of like hedging your bet.
Yep. Yeah. And so diversification is an acknowledgement that the future is uncertain and we don't know what's going to happen. So we're going to own investments in a lot of different categories so that we don't miss the category that does well and we're not overexposed to any categories of investments that maybe suffer. And so that's really important.
All right. So as far as diversification, Brian, can you go into more detail? You know, someone who's listening, okay, well, how do I know how to do that? To where I'm kind of covering myself.
Yeah, and diversification opportunities can be different based on how much money you have to invest. For example, big endowments like Yale and Harvard, they diversify by buying farmland and timberland that may take decades to produce what they need. You know, we can't do that if we have $10,000 in an IRA. So diversification is basically ensuring that not all your investments move the same way on the same day. And so what that often looks like is first identifying how much risk you're trying to take, which gives you your overall, what we call asset allocation, the mix of stocks and bonds and other assets. And then stepping back and saying, okay, I own 60% of my portfolio might be in stocks. Do I only own one category of stocks? For example, you could own 5 stocks and not be diversified if those 5 stocks are all in the same sector or trade together. So diversification is about understanding the risk you're trying to take and then ensuring that your portfolio is not overexposed to any one category of the market. And this is an area where investment professionals can help, because the average person is not trained in this. You can certainly read and learn and figure out how to do it on your own. I'm not going to say it's impossible to do it that way, but one of the most common issues I see when people come in for their first meeting with us as financial planners is that they are under-diversified because they didn't know the importance of that.
You know, when you started talking about diversification, honestly, Brian, my thoughts went wholly to stocks. You're talking about investing in other areas as well. But one of the things you mentioned, too, is not to be invested where when something happens, everything's going to tank and then the thought went to, okay, well, then you're talking about just kind of evening out. So why invest? However, layperson's understanding here, we've talked several times before and I'm gonna stick to just in the stock market investment diversity. Mm-hmm. You look at a 10 or 15 year graph of the stock market, and you know, we typically say 20, any 20 year,
mm-hmm.
and it's up.
Yep.
In the long run, and we're talking about long-term investment, this one might be down and this one up, but over time, they both will grow.
Yep.
Or they all will grow.
Yeah. And markets, individual sectors and the overall stock market are extremely variable in the short term. And the idea of diversification is to smooth the ups and downs as hopefully you're participating in that upward march.
Yeah.
As the economy expands and new innovations come through and different companies are profitable. And the reason this is often a mistake for people is they under diversify because they want to continue to invest more and more in what's working today.
Yeah.
So let's use an example. Let's say it's a year ago, end of 2021. What was working then was, growth type companies, innovative technology type companies, things that had a lot of growth prospects for the future. And that had been a strong trend really for about 10 years, getting to the end of 2021. And so people didn't feel like they needed to diversify because they said, well, this is what's working, so why would I own anything else? Well, now in 2022, that reversed, and those types of stocks were some of the hardest hit. For example, recently Tesla, for example,
right,
was down 70% from its beginning of the year high. So, you know, you can end up with a lot of downside risk. It's not that you shouldn't own any of those companies. It's just you want to make sure that that's not the only thing you own, or you don't own an exceptional percentage of your portfolio there. So that when risk does come to that sector or downside comes, that that's not having an outsized influence on your allocation.
Now, Brian, we're sneaking up on a break, but before we get there, I know you have another area in the actions as to what we can do based on what you started the broadcast with. What would be another action we could take as we head into 2023?
Yeah, so for your risk assets, your long-term investments, diversify. But also keeping an emergency reserve is so important because in times of uncertainty, sometimes we also have personal catastrophes, you know, a medical event, I lose my job, a roof needs to be replaced on my house, I have to fly across the country to take care of an ailing parent. So the importance of having some cash in the bank is another way to deal with that uncertainty of the future.
So, Brian, practically speaking, for someone who's like, all right, I'm taking notes, I'm going to talk to my advisor about diversification, and I'm going to start working on an emergency reserve. Okay. And, from personal experience, times where I've been in more debt than I wanted to be in and digging out, I actually, stopped, putting money in a retirement account, so I could take care of high interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's common sense. But what about this emergency reserve? If someone is trying to dig out of high interest loans, would that maybe be a priority above a retirement account deposits?
What I often recommend is you don't want to leave any free money on the table. So if you have a retirement plan at work where you get a match, at least putting enough in to get the full match would be a good place to start. And as you're attacking debt and building a reserve, which is a common, competing interest that people have with their finances.
Yeah.
Is I would suggest doing both at the same time. So if you have just in round terms, if you have $100 a month of free cash flow and you're trying to decide, do I pay down my debt with that or do I build a savings? I would say don't make it either or, try to do a little bit of both with the money you have. And then start to build up a reserve simultaneously while you're reducing your debts.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to, I'm going to answer my own question, I think. I was about to ask you, okay, with that extra $100, mm-hmm. What percentage do you put towards the reserve and what percentage do you put towards getting out of debt? But each individual is going to have mm-hmm. a different number there, but to thoughtfully think through it and make a commitment and do what you can.
Yep. And then having that reserve built will help you in the next emergency from relying solely on debt to cover any of those short-term expenses that came unexpectedly.
All right. Well, we're visiting with Brian Cochran and John Moore Associates today for the full hour. And we've got a lot of shows still to get through and a lot of great insight on the way. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more with Brian Cochran on ABQ Connect.
Tom's Hair Service is located in West Downtown on the corner of Central and 12th. They aim to create a culture of creativity, collaboration, and care. They're accepting new clients and specialize in both color and cuts. They're looking to add stylists and barbers to their team who want to serve the people of Albuquerque, a city they love. More information at townshop.co. That's townshop.co. Thank you, Towns Hair Service, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM, The Light of New Mexico.
A portion of the programming heard on KLYT is underwritten by a gift from David and Carol Beth Stewart of Black Bear Medicare. David and Carol Beth are both licensed, independent Medicare brokers and advisors providing no-cost consultation to educate those making decisions about Medicare plans and to clarify Medicare information seen on TV and in the mail. Black Bear Medicare, 505-363-9191. BlackBearMedicare.com, 363-9191.
Here's an idea for all parents. Smile when you say no.
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
By his own admission, Steve was a little demanding as a parent. He sort of had to be after his wife died, leaving him with three teenagers to raise. Years later, when he married and became a stepdad, his authoritarian style was pretty well set. But what worked as a parent backfired as a stepparent. I suggested that he put a smile with his no. That didn't make any sense until I explained. We get more influential as parents when we're gentle, yet firm. When we're calm while setting boundaries or handing down discipline. You see, grace and truth is a powerful combination. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit FamilyLifeBlended.com.
Terrorism and war are not going away. Terrorists and violent extremists have exploited instability. They've increased and intensified activities around the world. Terror-fueled violence has killed and wounded thousands. Many more continue to suffer from the broader impact of terrorism on their lives and livelihoods. The growth of terrorism is a major threat to international peace and security. Misogyny is at the core of many terrorist groups' ideology. Women and girls are bearing the brunt of the insecurity and inequality created. Reload Love, the Army of Love, conveys God's love by fighting back with tenderness to children impacted by terrorism. They provide educational supplies, school supplies, playground equipment, food, drinking water, clothing, blankets, care packages, and medical supplies to children displaced by terrorism's violence. Consider a year-end gift and join the Lovement at ReloadLove.com. That's ReloadLove.com.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
And we're in studio today with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates. Brian joins us typically each Friday for a financial update, a Friday financial update. And a reminder, go to johnmoore.com on the website. You'll find the Insights tab, a lot of great information other than that, but at no cost, some insights into some of the stuff we're talking about today and the things that we've covered throughout the year. And with that, we do think about 2022. We started our conversation at the top of the hour with that and how to consider the future and some actions we can take, including diversification and emergency reserves. Brian, what's our next topic? Oh, here you go, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah, the next topic is just the reality that our expenses can change quickly. The cost of living, if you will, could change very quickly. And that leads us to the importance of keeping margin in our lifestyle. And we really can't make any true financial planning decisions unless we've built margin into our lifestyle. And as Americans, what we often do is if we increase our income, we often immediately increase our lifestyle and find ways to spend that money rather than allowing some margin there for money to be saved, you know, for debt reduction, for giving.
Guilty, yeah. By the way, Brian.
Yes, I think we all are. And we often call it lifestyle creep, where you don't even know it's happening. It just kind of sneaks up on you. And then one day you look back and you say, man, I used to be able to live on $10,000-$20,000 a year less than I live on now. And how did this happen? Maybe you didn't make a big spending decision like a car or house, but just sort of those little extra trips to your favorite fast food restaurant or a coffee shop or, you know, more expensive gifts or a lot of ways.
Not that I wish for the pain of early life in as a married couple, but, you know, some of our fondest memories, Brian, go back to the days when there, you know, a lot of potatoes, a lot of inexpensive food to get through life.
Yep. Now, I remember fondly in the first few years of my marriage, I was starting my business and my wife had started out working and then stopped working when we had our first child. And, you know, a Friday night treat for us was a frozen pizza and a bottle of sparkling wine, you know, not a fancy one. And we would sit down and enjoy that. And that was a treat, you know, and certainly our lifestyle's crept above that now, but we still look back on that. So the verse here that I thought was, you know, appropriate is Proverbs 21:20. A lot of the great financial teachings come right out of Proverbs, by the way. And it says, the wise store up choice food in olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. And if you look at other translations, it points more towards that some people save some of their resources and others use it all up. So the idea here is rather than gulping all of your resources down, which doesn't necessarily mean, you know, oils and wines in our cases nowadays, but also just looking at spending all of your resources. We're meant to live with margin. And I think this year where that's come up is just with the inflation we've seen. I mean, the obscene costs of food compared to a year ago. If you were living at the limit of your expenses last year, you are now living over that limit, even if you're not buying more stuff, because everything's become so much more expensive that if you didn't have any margin, you're probably living on debt. And we've seen that in statistics, economic statistics in the second half of this year, that lower income Americans in particular have moved from having a lot of savings built up during the pandemic because they couldn't do much and they got a lot of stimulus, to now living on debt, and credit card balances are as high as they've ever been or higher. So we know a lot of Americans have violated that principle, and maybe during those COVID years when they were getting extra unemployment checks or stimulus checks, maybe the lifestyle creep set in, and now they're trying to maintain that lifestyle with less income.
Well, I saw a recent report, and it showed maybe six states and how much people that are completely dependent on what they're getting from the government are getting. And I didn't see the itemization of that, you know, what benefits all what they're talking about. But it was anywhere, Brian, from $60,000 a year to over $100,000 a year. And it, you know, especially in the last couple of years, our nation has grown into that more than, I mean, I'm not 200 years old, so, but more than ever before?
Yeah, it is more. And there are still twice as many people on food stamps and Medicaid than there were before COVID hit. Because they expanded those programs. So definitely we have people who are living outside of their personal means and require government support to get over the hump, which is a good thing to have for the people who really need it.
Right.
But, I heard a stat recently and I can't cite the source right now. I'm sorry, but it suggested that there's about 7 million able-bodied men right now in this country who are not working or even looking for work.
Now, able-bodied U.S. citizen men?
Yep.
Because now there's a whole lot of other men, and maybe they're working. I don't know. The other thing I wanted to say, and you kind of touched on it, not to shame someone who is in true need and using those. I mentioned early in our marriage the struggles we had financially and how tight we had to keep things. And we were on government assistance, that time. But I do remember the goal being to get independent. Well, independent. Of course, we always depend on God.
Right.
However, to get financially dependent and not have to use those sources. As a nation, I wonder how much of that has changed, that mentality has changed as well. It seems, you know, if you look back to the Great Depression, I don't know if morals is the right word, but the culture then was, people need help, but I'm going to work hard to get out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the opportunities we would want for ourselves and our families come when we are moving up economically. So I think the actions here that are important, you know, going back to the idea of creating margin, is to first, you know, build a spending plan, or at least build an awareness as to where your money's going today. A lot of people don't like the word budget. They can't live within a budget. It's very difficult to do that, especially for a family with children. But what I would suggest is at least start with building an understanding of where your money's going.
Yeah. And
my favorite thing to use there is some of the new financial apps. There's a lot of them out there. We usually recommend our clients consider MoneyWise, which is their app is an extension of the radio program here on KLYT. And a great program. And the reason I like that app is it also incorporates biblical financial teaching into the app. It's not just itemizing things, but you can actually link your bank accounts.
Oh,
and then
good.
Every day it'll download your transactions and help you categorize them. And what I've found is anytime I've done that and anytime I've had a client do that, they find what we like to call leakage, money that's kind of escaping out of their spending or out of their bank account that they weren't aware of. Things like subscriptions you forgot about, things you didn't realize you're spending that much on because it's a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah.
The old cliche is the latte at Starbucks, but there's a lot of things for different people that might fall into that category. And then you can start to change your behaviors. But a lot of people don't change behaviors because they're not aware, or they're in denial as to where their money's going. So the MoneyWise app is a great tool for that.
Yeah, Brian, before we press on from the app, I wanted a little testimony on that. Now, I haven't downloaded the MoneyWise app, and I don't want to discourage our listeners from doing so. I need to, one of the things that clicked with me, you said that we can connect it to our bank account.
Mm-hmm.
But as you started on talking about apps, I thought of the bank where I bank. You know, I use an app on my phone, and it has some of those features. Just last week, I found it was like $14 and something. And I'm going to tell you what it was. It was something like, oh, I want to, do the 7-day trial thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, and it's not worth looking into at this point. I thought I canceled it. I found that, I forget where I found it on the app, but I let me look at these to see, you know, some stuff that, you know, I think it said, some things that'll be coming out of your account in the next week, you know, and I clicked on it and I was like, what is that? And I clicked on it and I go, oh, I thought I canceled that. So, testimony, even if you think you don't have one of those things that are coming out, there's a good chance you do. The MoneyWise app, it's a free app.
The free app, you can't link the accounts automatically. Okay. You do manual entry.
Okay.
There are free apps to do the links, but my warning to the listeners is, you know, if it's like anything online, if you're not paying for it, you are the product.
Yeah.
And so on those free apps, a lot of times what they're doing is harvesting your data,
right,
and selling it, and then they're marketing specific ads to you.
That's not the case.
Yeah, and that's not really what we're looking for. So with the MoneyWise app, you pay a small monthly fee to do that, but it's going to have a lot of other resources those other apps don't have. You're supporting a ministry, and you're protecting the privacy of your data.
Okay. Any other, before we take a break, Brian, on the current topic, any more actions to take?
I would just say if you're going through that process and you're in a relationship, if you're married, do that together. It's really hard. You have to have buy-in from both parties when you want to change
that.
Yeah. And you don't want to be doing it out of judgment. Like, I cannot believe my husband or my wife is spending on these things. You know, having an honest conversation about, hey, things are tight. We need to get some changes. Can we agree on that? Okay, now what's some steps we can take? And you see that this time of year, finance is only behind health in the categories of New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
So what a great time of year to kick it off. Hey, let's get an understanding of where our money's going, and then let's start making some positive changes.
All right. We're in studio with Brian Cochran and John Moore Associates. The website again, johnmoore.com. And if you go there, you'll find the regular blog that Brian writes, and under the insights tab, you'll find all kinds of information. Check that out, and check out the next segment. We've got more for you. Full hour with Brian today on a financial update Friday as we head into the end of the year and looking at the new year. We'll be back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
Skip Heitzig left Southern California in 1982 to head for the desert of New Mexico. The goal was starting a Bible study in Albuquerque. Let's just say it worked out okay.
So I'm moving two states away, going back east, going to New Mexico. And I think it was in a place in the Jesus movement where that was not unusual. And I thought, I'm going to go out here, spend a few months, maybe a year, and see if the Lord's going to do anything at all.
40 years later, Skip is celebrating the great things God has done. To invite you into the celebration, we're offering our radio friends a free copy of Skip's book, You Can Understand the Book of Genesis. No cost, no obligation, just a way to say, wow, what the Lord has done. From Calvary, Albuquerque, order your free book by Skip Heitzig by calling 1-800-922-1888 or go to connectwithskip.com. Get your free copy of You Can Understand the Book of Genesis by calling 1-800-922-1888 or go to connectwithskip.com.
Here's an idea for all parents. Smile when you say no.
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
By his own admission, Steve was a little demanding as a parent. He sort of had to be after his wife died, leaving him with three teenagers to raise. Years later, when he married and became a stepdad, his authoritarian style was pretty well set. But what worked as a parent backfired as a stepparent. I suggested that he put a smile with his no. That didn't make any sense until I explained. We get more influential as parents when we're gentle, yet firm. When we're calm while setting boundaries or handing down discipline. You see, grace and truth is a powerful combination. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit FamilyLifeBlended.com.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE.
All right, glad to have you along with us today in the discussion with Brian Cochran and John Moore Associates, our Financial Friday update, which we will press on. Looking forward to doing this in the new year. You, Brian?
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite things to do each month is be here for an hour with you.
Yeah, and then, of course, the short update each Friday. It's just a great way to kind of keep this front of mind each week. So Brian, I'm going to let you'll articulate it so much better than I will, where we've been so far in our conversation and where we're headed next.
Yeah, so we started off by acknowledging uncertainty and how the future is always unclear to us, even if we feel confident. So we trust in God and make good plans, but always asking for his will, and acknowledging that uncertainty in our finances by having some emergency funds and diversifying our investments. And then we talked about how quickly cost of living can change and how keeping some margin is really important. Definitely a big one. And so next I thought we'd talk about the idea of speculation and how when we invest our assets, the biblical principle for investing is not to look for a quick buck or to make a lot of money without thinking there's any risk to that. And we've seen that certainly this year where a lot of the more speculative investments of the last few years suddenly went down, and a lot of people have lost a lot of money because they were being overly risky and speculative leading up to 2022.
You know, Brian, one of the things I wanted to touch on a little bit here when we talk about speculation, I even mentioned earlier how often we'll say, well, look at a 20-year graph of what the stock market has done. Mm-hmm. Are we speculating by saying, you know, in the next 20 years? I mean, I kind of feel like really the only thing we can count on is the gospel.
Yeah, it is. It is the only certainty. And I like to think when you start, the longer you're starting to look at periods and the more reasonable you are in your return expectations, the further you get from speculation.
Well, and he does tell us to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Yep. And the wisdom of Solomon, I mean, in spite of the fact Solomon, like us, being a man, he had plenty of his own failings, like I do, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly one of the wealthiest when it comes to you know, gold, you know, when it comes to the wealth, monetary wealth, people who's ever been.
Yep. And I think the theme here, it always goes back, finance in the biblical context, always goes back to the heart. You know, where is your heart? If you're investing in a sense of greed and trying to accumulate money quickly, it's probably not going to end well. And the verse here that I used is Proverbs 21:5. Again, a lot of biblical financial wisdom is right there in Proverbs. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." And there's different translations of this that just point more and more to this differentiation between steady plodding and hasty speculation. And so the idea is God's way to build wealth is not through high-risk speculation, but through steady savings, building that margin, being wise. And when we start to get greedy and expect high rates of return, we often end up on the fool's path there and leading to poverty. And I think the examples we saw this year, cryptocurrency is probably the most glaring, where the last few years it's gone exceptionally well for investors and people were becoming extremely overconfident. Basically every financial behavior that we're trained to look out for that might be a red flag, we saw in the crypto markets going into the end of 2021. And now some of those cryptocurrencies are zero. Some of the cryptocurrency companies have gone under, FTX being the most significant. And overall, you know, a lot of this, the general, even more, traditional crypto investments are down 60-70% from the start of the year. So if you had put all your eggs in that basket, if you had speculated and maybe taken debt to buy cryptocurrency, things like that, you're probably kicking yourself now.
Brian, and this might be something maybe for the end of the show, but I'm thinking about it, so I'm going to throw it out there. For someone who's listened to these points that we've made up to this point in the show, and okay, you know what? I'm going to apply this. I'm going to really apply this. I'm going to change my heart about how I feel about money, that it is his, and how can I be a good steward, with what he's given me and fix the situation that I'm in or we're in. And they start heading down that road, and then another boulder just lands right on them. They're, you know, we're human, so we have that feeling. God, I'm trying to do what you seem to want me to do, and I get this. I think that's reality.
Yep.
In some situations, what encouragement would you give to someone who's maybe going to experience that, or has, or is experiencing it right now?
Well, one of the terms we often use in our firm and with clients is, you know, when you have financial hardships in particular, think of it as you've paid the tuition, make sure you learn the lesson.
Yeah.
So when you get those big setbacks, you have to pause and do sort of a debrief and say, okay, well, what did I go wrong there? You know, what principle did I break? Let me go back to scripture and see what God says about investing in money or whatever it might be, relationships, wherever the failure is.
Right.
And say, okay, which principle did I breach here, and how can I avoid doing that again? The mistake people make in a situation like this is they blame it all on external factors. They say, well, you know, I was right, but then this happened and that really hurt me. You know, do some self-reflection and say, okay, was I being speculative? Was I being irresponsible? Was I under diversified? You know, did I overextend myself here? And if you do that and you're honest with yourself, there's a lesson learned there so you don't repeat the mistake. And this is, by the way, Steve, this is why people who come into sudden wealth often fail.
Yeah.
Or you think of like a young professional athlete. I think the way we're designed to manage money is we make our mistakes when we're young and the dollar amounts are small. The stakes are small. So we're like a professional athlete who gets all their money when they're 23. You know, they make those mistakes when they're young and the dollars are big. And then when they're older, the dollars are small and they have some lessons learned, but right. No money to manage with it.
Yeah. I mean, the biblical principle there, wouldn't it be he who's faithful with a little?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you're applying biblical principles, they're going to work in the little amounts and mm-hmm. and the big amounts. And the other encouragement actually that occurred to me is I asked the question is, don't let that setback have you believe a lie that I'll just go back to what I was doing before. This isn't working.
Right.
Biblical principles work.
They do. And what you're explaining there is the transcendence of them, that it doesn't matter the dollar amounts, the principles are true and they're timeless. So they'll be just as true tomorrow as they were yesterday. And that's key.
Do not grow weary in doing what is right.
Exactly. And so the actions here, I would say, if you're trying to turn this into actionable, reflection or actionable changes in your finances, it goes back to diversification. A lot of times speculation is the opposite of diversification. You know, so are you putting all your eggs in one basket hoping to hit a home run? And then it makes your investing based on some sort of a consistent process that does not change much year by year, as opposed to jumping around to wherever you think might make the most money. And look at your heart and think about your expectations. If you're investing in something thinking you're going to double your money overnight, you're probably speculating. And think about what could be the downsides, what could be the trade-offs of this, as opposed to just diving into everything where someone says, oh, I made a lot of money here, or I think you can make a lot of money here. That's where people get burned, is they're trying to be greedy and make too much too quickly. So if that's your intent or that's your expectation, maybe you need to pause. Maybe it doesn't mean you don't have to exclude that investment at all, but just make sure you don't overcommit to something that has such risk.
All right. That gets us through our third segment of today's show. I'm Steve Ryman. You're listening to ABQ Connect. Our guest in studio today, Brian Cochran of John Moore Associates. We've given the website a couple of times. However, go check it out, johnmoore.com. And, we often point to the insights tab, information there that you can certainly apply, will encourage you to consider your finances, through a Christian worldview lens. There's more on the site to check out as well, but it's johnmoore.com. When we come back, more with Brian Cochran on ABQ Connect.
I'm Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
It is a part of our faith to forgive. We will be forced to leave the colonies if we do not forgive these men.
The new movie Women Talking, now in theaters, is stirring up a lot of Oscar buzz. This film dramatizes the real-life story of Mennonite women living in community who all slowly realize that they've been drugged and assaulted by various men living there. The conversations they have, while painful, ultimately lead in a redemptive direction. Women Talking is a serious story that could potentially serve as a catalyst for conversation about spiritual and sexual abuse in the church. Still, despite its PG-13 rating, this movie obviously isn't intended for younger viewers, given its intense subject matter. So we're giving this movie a 2.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. You can read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Ah, the sounds of Christmas. Jingle bells, Christmas carols, and a chicken. Christmas gift wrapping, Christmas shopping, and a water buffalo. These are the true sounds of Christmas. When you donate to a poor family in Asia, a chicken, cow, or goat can change the life of a family. A chicken provides eggs for nutrition and income. A cow can pull a cart and provide milk to drink or sell. A lamb can provide up to 30 pounds of wool a year. But the best part of all, when you donate an animal to a poor family in Asia, you open the door for them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the best Christmas gift of all. Do something truly meaningful this Christmas. Donate an animal through GFA World. And enjoy the sounds of Christmas.
Call 1-855-513-2127 or click on the Christmas Critter banner at KLYT.FM.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in on this final ABQ Connect for 2022. And, you know, the imaging on the show, encourages phone calls during the show. And we typically do encourage you to call in. We're short on staff today. I'm actually engineering the show from a different studio than Brian's sitting in. And with that being said, I do want to thank, Jared, who typically is sitting in this seat and does such a great job of putting us on the air. Because of the inability to, be on the show and answer phone calls and texts, we're just sticking with the content provided by Brian today. But it's been great content, Brian. If you could, rehash, in a minute or so, what we've gone through so far.
Yeah, we've talked about everything from the reality of economic uncertainty and how we prepare for that to, the uncertainty in expenses with inflation hitting so hard this year. How important it is to leave margin in our expenses to absorb that kind of inflation. And then we just wrapped up talking about how hasty speculation often leads to poverty, as scripture tells us, so that we're supposed to invest not for a quick buck or out of greed, but out of the expectation of steady progress.
All right. And our final segment will be focusing on what?
I thought we'd talk about generosity, always a good place to spend some time in our hour together. And I think the principle this year on generosity is that we are called to be generous even in times of uncertainty, because God's people have needs even when maybe our economic situation is a little shaky or we're maybe feeling a little fearful. And one of the principles we teach about generosity is that fear and generosity do not coexist. When we are fearful, we stop being generous. And I think we can all probably feel a little conviction in that at times. But, you know, that's one thing that we try to do in our financial planning process is try to instill a plan that brings confidence and removes fear, which opens the door to more generosity.
You know, as we head into this, the thought occurs to me, you know, two things that we've heard, you know, over the years. You know, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
And the examples that God gives us in his nature, for example, he created the world, he created the universe in 7 days, or 6 days, and he took the seventh day to rest. And we certainly know that being who he is, he wasn't tired.
Mm-hmm.
but he encourages us, to take that seventh day, to take that rest, to have that, the year of Jubilee, if you will. Really to seek his wisdom in these things. And we've said it, you know, well, just about every time we do the Friday financial update, looking at our, at his finances that he's given us stewardship over, and looking at them through a Christian worldview lens.
Yep. And the, one of my favorite generosity verses is out of 1 Timothy. And this is in chapter 6. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. And we just talked about that, right? We talked about, you know, not presuming on the future. Don't put your hope there. It's uncertain. So don't be arrogant or put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So to me, this is a calling to fight the power of greed and the uncertainty of wealth and what it might bring in the future by being generous, by saying, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but what I do know is that God has blessed me and I have the opportunity to be a blessing to others.
You know, as I think through some of this, Brian, too, and application for myself as we head into the new year and those areas that, we're maybe not being as wise with our money, because of activities we're mm-hmm. choosing to do. Time comes into that. And sometimes I think we want to fill time. So we have to do something, and something often, takes away from our finances. And, just the simple thought, you know, not to, do as the Lord leads. I don't want someone to take this to an extreme, more so than God would want them to. However, when maybe you're coming up against one of those things, well, maybe if I just, you know, in an area where you decide I'm going to cut back in this area, maybe slow down and say, well, what can I do that God would want me to do that would benefit me based on his word?
Yep.
More time in the Word, more time talking to your kids, more time doing what you know God would say is good.
Yeah, and that's sharing, just like we share our wealth, you share your time, right? And
well, you know, one of the things that occurred mm-hmm. to me, too, as far as now that we bring it up, time. I know I'm on staff at Calvary Church, and you know, we have PTO that we can use throughout the year. And you know, in any workplace, someone sometime runs into a place where, they have an emergency come up, and they don't have the PTO. But I know where I work, there's a PTO bucket that, you know, it needs to be approved by those that oversee that. I think it's a wise setup. But there's a bucket of PTO that the employees can donate into, for someone else, that may end up in a situation where they're going to be in a hardship because they're going to be out for a little while.
Yep.
And that, you know, that, it's not like you're stroking a check, but it is. I mean, you're donating, time, you know, PTO is money.
Yep.
So there's, you know, if they do, if that's something that's done at your work, there's a place that you, you know, I think we need to think of unique ways that we can give, that we can do hilariously.
Yep. And, you know, we talked, I think it was a couple months ago about the four P's of giving that are good guidelines as you try to process this and thinking about your own opportunities for generosity in the new year. And again, finances are number two to health in terms of financial or in terms of New Year's resolutions. And I think a lot of times it's things like paying off debt, but also giving more is a common resolution. So if you want to do that, one of the first things we do is we talk about the first P of priority. You know, where does giving fit in your priorities? Are you paying off your debts and then spending money and then giving the leftovers? Or are you giving first and then taking care of the other aspects of your finances? So make giving a priority, which is maybe one of the hardest parts.
Brian, one of the things that stood out to me when we talked about this before, because one of the things I thought of was, you know, in the scripture where it talks about, you know, leaving the corners of the field, I said, isn't that more after, you know, not making a priority? But I loved your answer. You said, no, but you planned to leave the corners for the people who needed it. Making giving a priority. Love it.
Yeah, if it's only the leftovers you give, you know, especially with the way expenses are nowadays, it's unlikely you'll give anything because Everything seems so expensive. There's no leftover.
But plan to do it.
Yep. So make it a priority. The second is to give based on percentage, not on dollar amounts. And, you know, I don't like to be prescriptive on giving because it is more of a hard issue than, you know, hard numbers. But a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to give 10%, and they might start giving 10% when they're making $40,000 a year. And then they stay at that $4,000 a year, which is 10% of the original salary. And 10 years later, they're making $80,000 a year and they're still giving $4,000 a year.
Yeah.
So, God cares about percentage, not that you have to give a certain amount for him to fulfill his mission and his purpose, but more that it's a sacrifice based on how much you're willing to allocate out of your overall pie.
Well, you know, Brian, a fifth P that can go into each of these is prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where you'll often find the calling of where to give, from my experience. So that, you know, once you've got it prioritized and you're giving a certain percentage, the next piece of that is progressive. Maybe you're already giving. Maybe you were generous in 2022, but how much are you going to give next year? Are you going to be giving more and more each year? And I think this is a challenge, especially when people are feeling that, economic uncertainty is, well, I'm just going to give the same I gave in 2022, or maybe I'll give even less because I just feel like the economy is shaky. You know, if you can keep giving progressively more and more, that's how you achieve significant levels of generosity. Is maybe you're starting at only 2 or 3% of your income and you're trying to get to 10, or maybe you're already at 10. You've always been what we refer to as a tickled tither. You know, you give your 10% and you feel like you've checked the box and the rest of the 90% is for you. Well, I've got news for you. It's all God's money.
Yeah.
And, if there's opportunities to go further, that's great. I actually met with a couple yesterday for the first time. Fabulous. Very, spiritually mature. I really admired the way they thought about money. And what they've always done is tithe and then look for opportunities to be generous. So they tithe to the church automatically. 10% is no question.
Yeah.
And then as needs come to them and as certain organizations that they're passionate about have specific needs, then they go deeper into their pockets and continue to give. And as you mentioned, a lot of it's giving of their time and talents. It's not just money, but money is certainly part of it. So make it a priority. Give based on a percentage, not on dollar amounts. And then give progressively. Try to increase your giving over time. And then the last piece is prompting, just like the story I just told, where, you know, look for God's prompting. Leave enough margin in your giving budget, if you will, that you're willing to let God kind of tug on your heart and say, hey, this is a need that you need to fill. And I love the stories I get to experience with clients where I'll get a phone call and say, hey, I'd like to give some money out of my account that you're managing. And I'll say, well, tell me more about where you're giving. And I get to hear these stories of why someone came across a certain nonprofit that needs some resources and why it kind of resonated with them. And I get to hear and just hear in people's tone the excitement of the opportunity to give. And when you're giving very legalistically or you know, based on a certain percentage to a certain place all the time, you do not open the opportunity for that sort of prompted giving that can be sometimes the most joyful.
Brian, any insight as to, you talk about nonprofit organizations, any insight into as far as what to consider before giving to a nonprofit organization?
You know, a lot of people like to consider the efficiency in terms of how much of your gift will go towards overhead as opposed to actual, impact on the mission. So a good example of that is, you know, we've supported Feed New Mexico Kids in the past, and they have specific donors that cover the cost of the salaries of the key employees there. So if you make a gift, it's going right towards food for children. Now, that's the kind of thing I like to see personally. I also like to see a good, clear mission. If you're making a big gift, we like to have people approach the nonprofit and say, hey, I'm considering making a game-changing gift. What would it look like if we were to give you a large sum of money, and see if they have a clear vision for the future and they can explain where your dollars get plugged in? Those are all good boxes to check.
What about oversight by organizations like ECFA or other organizations?
Yeah, that's a good extra layer where maybe they're getting rated by other organizations or being approved. That's all good sort of reinforcement of some of the things we just discussed.
Yeah, you know, Brian, you're on each week, whether it's the 15 minutes or the monthly full hour, with the about 2 minutes that we have left. Take a little bit of time to speak to the listener as to what got you into doing what you do and why it's so important that we take the time that we do this each Friday.
So sort of how I became
a
financial planner. So actually it was an education major in college. And that's where my degree started. And then after I left school, I was recruited into financial services and a faith-based national company. And to me, what always drew me to the industry was the ability to educate people, to empower them to make better financial decisions. And that's what I love about, you know, the more I've learned about how scripture speaks to finances, is that's what God's word is doing for us. It's saying, hey, I can't tell you exactly what the Dow is going to do next year or the S&P 500. I can't tell you what tax code is going to be. But here's a book full of principles to live by. And so the fact that we in our office, our advisors are equipped to teach those principles to our clients through good financial counsel, that's really the satisfying part of the job. And as my career has expanded and grown, I've just had more and more opportunities to impact families that way. And as a firm, we've only gone deeper and deeper into our commitment to instill these financial principles in the advice we give.
Well, we appreciate the time you take each week to do that with us. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again next week. Brian, a safe and happy new year to you, your family, the staff, and folks can find out more by going to the website, right?
Absolutely. JohnMoore.com. Look at the Insights tab.
All right. A happy new year, and join us in 2023 as we continue to bring you the content you've grown accustomed to. More information about the station at klyt.fm.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.